This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Carm Capriotto, Remarkable Results Radio. Wow, I can't believe I'm interviewing Rod Olson today. And this is so exciting. The coach's coach, author, speaker, executive coach. Your resume is incredible, Rod. And Dan Taylor's with me, a senior business advisor, Transformers Institute. Since its relaunch in 2020, the NAPA Auto Care member site has continued to evolve to keep members updated on all the NAPA programs, promotions, benefits, and other information available to help their businesses thrive. If you're a NAPA Auto Care member, visit member.napaautocare.com to access the member portal. Not a NAPA Auto Care center? Well, contact your servicing NAPA Auto Parts store to learn more about how to join the NAPA family.
If you don't mind, I'll share a little bit of the story of how Rod and I met, with your permission, Carm.
Sure.
I was with an organization that did national education for college, pro, and high school coaches, a little bit of youth guys mixed in. And Rod was with another organization, and I was clinic director. They call it clinics, and they call it, instead of trade shows, they call it clinics in that vernacular, in the sport vernacular. And we were flying in or something. It was in the Denver clinic or conference, and we had a guy that we could not get into town to speak, and it was a high-level D1 college quarterback coach from a top Power 5, top 10 type program, and I said, "Whoa, we're scrambling." I said, "Rod, you used to coach quarterbacks. You worked with Jimmy Johnson and several other well-known coaches around the country. Hey, is there any chance you can throw something together and do three blocks, so 50-minute blocks on quarterback play?" So he agreed. And so this is a lot of where our journey started. The first session, you line the rooms up on what you think attendance is going to be. And the first attendance is the room's already squished out to 100 people. And then the second session, this isn't going to work. So we got to move them to another room. We finally, at the end of the session, we got like 350 guys hanging out the doors listening to Rod. And then one of the things I really loved about that industry and the guy I worked with is we always scored a speaker. So there were literally 2,000 speakers over probably close to 40 years that they've taken measurements on. And you can imagine, you have your peers measuring you, right? So in the audience is all the people that do your job. And this is a real blessing because we found out Rod is an amazing connector, amazing speaker. He's one of the few, and I mean, we're talking few, rarefied air, that were had perfect scores from all their peers on presentation, education, enthusiasm, all the things we used to measure. So we got him on the road. He did more of those. And I'm like, you know, you really have a gifting for this, you know, speaking and the speaking. So that goes back 22, 23 years ago. He and I worked on some other projects, Coaches of Excellence, which we literally hundreds of thousands of people Rod presented to and the material. And it's time proven stuff. I'm going to be quiet and let him share a little bit of his own story about that. But that's how we've got. And then now, real quick, he works with all my leadership groups. So he's a active guest leader, our guest speaker for leadership, and has spoken to at our summit a couple of years ago, and we're making arrangements hopefully to get him this year to do that as well. And yeah, just a gifted guy, and it's been cool to journey with him and just see how life has opened up a lot of doors for him, impacting people, making a difference, and it's cool stuff.
Well, Dan, I just want to thank you for bringing Rod into the automotive aftermarket. We so desperately over the years, and I think it has taken some of our best shop operators and coach facilitators like you to realize that we need to put a Rod Olson in front of our industry. We need leadership / coaching so bad. So thank you for doing that. Rod, thank you for doing all this stuff. That was a great opening. I know that one of the things that we want to talk about here is old school leaders wanted. And when Dan tossed that up to me, Rod, the only thing I could think about was back to the fundamentals.
Or grab them by the freaking face mask and wake them up, right? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. Rod, I have to tell you a quick story about coaching. I'm from Buffalo. I went to a Buffalo Bills summer camp and was on the sidelines. And I can't remember the name of the coach. Short, squatty, defensive line coach. And they just went through a scrimmage play, and he brought this guy who's 6'9", 300 pounds, and this little guy, and he is going up one side of him and down the other. And when he was all done, he says, "You know the basics, you know the fundamentals. This foot's got to go like that if he's doing this." And it really impacted me as to how hard he was, but how he gave the guy the gift of he knows how to do it. It was amazing.
The old school thing is interesting, but you know, before we jump into that, you know, Dan's introduction we have journeyed a long time together, and he's helped me just a bunch. But it's been very interesting, too. If you notice that introduction, at the very beginning, I was a substitute, right? I wasn't his first choice. I wasn't, you know, I was the guy that, hey, oh, by the way, we need somebody, Rod. So, no, it's neat how God works and connects people. And Dan and I have just, it's been just such a huge blessing. So excited to be here. Old school, let's talk about it. You know, I spent nearly 20 years as a college football coach and has spent the last 15 years just or 10 to 15 years just helping high-speed leaders and high-stakes leaders. And one of the things we've seen come full circle in the corporate world, in the military world, and also in the sports world, whether it's college, pro, high school, whatever, is there used to be 30 years ago the old school grab them, scare them, intimidate them, shame them to motivate. And again, in all three arenas, not just sports. And the crossover is the cross-pollination between sports, military, and corporate, and parenting, quite frankly, is all the same. We have a saying, it's true, it's probably not new. And if it's new, it's probably not true. There's nothing new under the sun in leadership. But it is how you package it. And it is how you structure and tactically approach things. And the old school thing, you know, was foreboding about 20 years ago. You know, all of a sudden, our country has a great ability to overcorrect. So, you know, as soon as the word gets out that we need to be positive and this and that with our children, well, you know, we just take the needle. We don't move it a little bit. We just whoom, go all the way. And next thing you know, we're not critiquing or holding people accountable, especially our children. And that's dangerous, quite frankly. That could be catastrophic, as we've discovered. So what we started teaching, and Dan was part of this too, again, in all three worlds, sports, military, and corporate, if you will, or in the business world, and to families, is, hey, you do need to be positive, obviously. But if that's all you're doing, I mean, that's not coaching. That's not leadership. That's a cheerleader. So we need to make sure that leaders are great parents. And remember, a parent's job is to make sure their child can hunt and survive in the real world when they leave their home, and that they have values and core beliefs and convictions, and they can tell right from wrong and all these types of things. And so what's interesting, though, is we started teaching people how not to be old school 15 years ago. And then myself and a couple other guys I work with, Dan included, we started to see a trend that, you know what, people want, we're lacking old school principles such as discipline, respect, honor, loyalty, hard work, core values. It's amazing how many people, when I was with the Pirates, we draft kids, high draft picks, extremely talented. We ask what their core values are, and they'd look at us like we were on Pluto. You know, and you're going, what do you mean? You don't know your core values? Like, what do you believe in, bro? And they'd be like, and you're going, wow. So there's a big gap, if you will, in a void. So what we've been trying to do now is, now the pendulum has swung, and we're seeing boards, presidents, all the people that do the hiring, quite frankly, they're looking for leaders that have old school principles, the healthy ones like discipline, value, respect, honor, all those things, teamwork, unselfishness. But they want those old school values with new school methods. You know, you can't grab kids' face masks anymore. You can't hit kids, kick them in the butt. You can't physically touch them or shame them, you know, and intimidate them. So, man, what are the tools then? How do I do this? How do I instill unselfishness and teamwork and sacrifice, but do it without shaming or intimidating or threatening people? So that's what we've been doing for the past 10 to 15 years. And again, it's been a blessing to do it not only with coaches and parents, but with Navy SEAL leaders and Special Forces leaders, and now in the corporate, quite frankly, and Dan's been a big part of this too.
You can't grab the face mask anymore. You can't. And that, to me, equates itself to the screaming and the yelling that sometimes you see in environments, even in businesses today in our industry, Dan, where our people out there are looking, hey, do you know of a really good place to work? What's wrong with this place? Okay. And then when you dig down and you find out, I don't even want to come in every day because the job I have is stressful enough, but the environment is worse. It's perfect.
It's odd. We have this sensitivity that we now have to kind of work around a little bit more. Right now, I'm literally working on three projects with three great key leader guys they're all guys in this case, where one's afraid to make mistakes, so he's stuck. Another guy said some things that were out of context, and before you know it, having a little bit of fun has gotten carried away. And he and I talked the other day. I got him to realize one way he's going to get through this is humility and apologize. And now I find he's in paralysis of analysis. So I actually sent a note to his owner this morning and said, hey, this is cool, but this isn't like wine. It's not going to get better with time. And so, yeah, there's this balancing between accountability and, to use your words, care, love, sincerely hoping for wanting the best for that human being or that person on your team. So it is an ongoing, and it's not a science, it's an art. Why do I screw it up sometimes and say the wrong things at the wrong time, whether it's parenting or with the leadership groups or even with my own spouse? Boy, I get to eat my own shoe probably daily, grown to kind of like the taste of my shoe, but I prefer to probably give that habit up at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think we as a person are going to wait around and say, oh my God, I got all this new responsibility. Now I'm leading my team. I think through osmosis and the fact that I have this new position, I'm going to become a great leader. And I think we have too much of that out there where people don't feel they need to go to the well. And that is to read, that is to watch videos, that is to listen to a guy like Rod to go into a higher level coaching group. And I think number two, I think the owners that are promoting certain people in their company saying he's the best of the best and I think they're going to do a great job and they don't get him any extra help. Getting training is not a sign of weakness. You see that all day long, I'm sure of it, Rod.
Yeah, touching back on what Dan said too about and what you mentioned, okay, so how do I do this? And it's interesting, you know, we used to call emotional intelligence and empathy and vulnerability soft skills. You know, now we call them essential skills. If you don't have those as a leader in today's world, you're done. They'll run you out. They'll cancel you. And also the ability to create a psychologically safe environment as leaders where people feel like, and again, the simple definition of a psychologically safe environment is people just don't feel the fear of asking questions or giving their opinion. They don't feel like there'll be retribution. So, you know, one of the things we try and really get across to these leaders is invest. It's not about spending money. It's not another line item. It's investing in your people. And you hit the nail right on the head, Carm. I think there's a great quote by John Wooden. You know, he talks about it's what you learn after you know it all that separates the great leaders from the average ones. And so we talk about having a white belt mentality, which is kind of the beginner's belt in martial arts. And, you know, the ability to be a voracious learner till the day you die. And I once had a guy tell me that, hey, you're the smartest guy in the room, Rod, is the one who knows that everyone else in the room has wisdom too. And so the ability to draw that out of people, and my role is to come alongside people like Dan, who are already doing great things and taking people, you know, a lot of places. It's my job to maybe just take it to another level and enhance that and then give them more coaching tools for their toolbox, both for themselves and for their team. Because, hey, we live in a world, this is easily, and it's not a generational thing. It's not my generation's tougher than yours. It's at the end of the day, we're living in one of the most difficult eras to lead as a man or a woman in the history of man. The amount of information and distraction and the demand for speed and how we overvalue speed and undervalue development. The big theme, you know, we always talk about, man, things that are built to last are not built fast. And we've forgotten that just because of our phones and everything else. We're thinking, oh yeah, this microwave food's gotten a lot better. You know, it's like, dude, have you had any ribs on a smoke grill for 6 hours lately? Because that microwave food sucks compared to that. But you know, they don't do that. We don't do that anymore. And so we kind of want to remind people too of the truths, the timeless truths and principles of things that are built to last or not built fast, like your team, your culture, your leadership abilities, and your family. And, you know, even with the SEALs, we talk about how long does it take to build a great operator? How long does it take to build a great team of men? And those the people need that permission to develop. I just look at a good friend of mine who works with the Sixers, and they just fired Doc Rivers after 3 years, and he won 65% of his games. But, you know, that's not good enough. 3 years, and usually it's two now. You don't get time to do anything. So that's the rub, too, is how do I get this shop? How do I get this team? How do I get my people and myself making money, getting a profit, winning games? But I got to do it fast. It's like, well, but it takes time. And I think having the ability of the owners, especially to recognize, man, that quick fix thing is so fickle and it's not sustainable. That's the other thing. We want sustainable businesses and teams, not just flash in the pan success.
I read somewhere on your website or I heard you speak and you said enhance people and productivity improves. I don't know. I just wrote that down in my notes, Dan. And when I think about the kind of effort we're putting into our businesses for productivity. And, you know, I think we're working on a lot of systems and a lot of processes But ultimately, the person who moves any lever is the person. And what are we doing to enhance them? It was brilliant. Stop and write that down. Put it in your head again. Enhance people and productivity improves. Wow. Okay. Another big takeaway of something you just said, we only give them 2 years. we only give them 2 years or less. And you said, I'm surprised he lasted three. That is just too funny. So here's the deal. Are we giving our people enough time to incubate and to grow?
I'm fortunate that I have variety and I work with a lot of different groups and corporations and industries. But the problem with that is I only get to journey with a couple for years at a time because just due to time constraints. But Dan, what's your thoughts? You know, we had a conversation with some lieutenant colonels and long-term leadership in the military and also in sport. And we talked about how long should it take a leader to build a culture and how long should it take to be successful? And then when should you replace that leader? And as you work on a daily basis, I'm curious, what are you seeing in the shops and with all those people as far as the aggressive impatience of success, you know, wanting success soon and compared to the people that want to give people time to develop and grow the business?
Yeah, it's an ongoing struggle, right? Because it's either numbers or people, and you got to have both. Without numbers, we can't hire anybody. And without people, we never get the numbers. And a little bit of a sidetrack, but it's absolutely apropos. We probably spent 3 hours the last 2 days in one of my groups talking about how we have compressed the interaction. And Carm, this will resonate. And I'm a timekeeper. So I'm built like an industrial engineer. Time and motion, boom, boom, boom. How do you compress relationships? How do you compress interaction with people? And it even applies to this topic. How do you compress leadership development, maturity, understanding of, all right, I made a mistake. I'm going to own it. I'm going to fix it. And I'm not going to do it again, right? And that's a rodism. We have lots of rodisms that we use. And we have become so impatient with allowing people to mature into this spot. Oftentimes I'll get on or say, hey, I need you to make him a leader. I'm like, I don't have secret sauce for that. There's nothing I can do other than through the maturation process, we're going to expose him to things. And I do want Rod to give the four in order, right? Know yourself, boom, 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 all the way down to, because I think that's really powerful. I use it over and over again. We've used that as a mantra. You've got to understand yourself first. Then you move to leading yourself. So let me hand this back off to Rod on that particular point on how we in succession actually work on leadership maturity.
You know, Carm, I've been working with Colorado State men's basketball for about 4 years. And the guy there, Nico Medved, the head coach, he's the best I've ever seen. One of the top five that I've ever been around. And creating culture, demanding excellence in love, but demanding excellence. Coaches them hard, but he's firm and fair. But at the same time, players know he loves them. It's a fun culture. And they win a lot. So, I mean, you know, that's the trifecta, right? And he asked me, he said, man, I love what we're doing with the coaching development, Rod. He said, could you do something with our players in regard to their man development and their character and life skills? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, how would you set it up? And I said, well, we did something with the Pirates that I really loved for young players. And we had four phases we took them through. And those four phases were know yourself, lead yourself, know others, and lead others. And you know, you can't lead yourself until you know yourself. And that goes back to knowing your core values, knowing what you believe in. And Carm, it's interesting. I've got three questions. And I'll actually share these in a mini course, Zoom course I'm doing tomorrow afternoon. But these three questions, I call them the three questions of clarity. And I've got a principle that I follow religiously. You know, I'm a faith guy, not a religious guy, but I do follow them religiously, doggedly. And that principle is high clarity equals high performance and low clarity equals low performance. Everything is parenting at the end of the day. If my children are unclear in what my wife and I expect from them, you know, my children are grown now and I've got some grandkids. But man, if there's a lack of clarity, there's going to, in my program, in my business, in my family, that's going to be a problem. And performance is going to go down. But if there's high clarity, meaning they understand the expectations we want, you know, it's not just message heard, it's message received. They get it. And that takes time, man. That is unbelievable. But part of my job as a parent and part of my job as a leader is I've got to get people to know themselves and lead themselves, which means, and this is another principle, I keep throwing these out to you like daggers in the dark, but you can't give away what you don't possess yourself. And that came from a good friend of ours, Kelly McGregor, who used to be the president of the Rockies and passed away about 12 years ago. And Kelly was an absolute rock star and died way too early. But his mantra was, man, you can't give away what you don't possess yourself. You can't ask other people to be disciplined and punctual and caring and demanding if you're not. That's a high bar. But in order to do that, I have to know myself and lead myself before I can know others and lead others. Now, can you do all those at the same time? Yeah, sometimes you have to. That's just part of being a leader and growing, and it's messy and people are messy. And we joke around too that if this job would be a great job, if it just wasn't for all the freaking people, people suck. You know, it's like, but we love people and people, but people are messy and we need to embrace that messiness and embrace it and just run with it and dance with it. Can you dance with the messiness? And my wife's done such a good job over 30 years of teaching me. And now we've got a 4-year-old grandson who has autism, and man, I'm like, wow, this is a whole different deal. And then all of a sudden you start thinking about leadership, and I think about him. And one of the principles that I'm learning with Boone right now is I can keep trying to pull him into my world. But, you know, as I research autism and I learn about it, that ain't going to work. I need to understand his world and what's going on in his head. And so guess what? Instead of trying to pull him into my world, I need to pull myself into his world. Great principle for leaders right there, right? I got to constantly ask, hey, what's it like to be pulled in my office and be reprimanded? What's it like to be on a team that's being built, but we're not having a lot of success just yet? Hey, what's it like to be on a team that's had tons of success almost too fast? And how do we rein that in so we realize that, you know, hey, a little bit of this might have been just lucky. Got hit the right trend at the right time and we hit the lottery. But anyways, I'm talking too much here. But really, Carm, I think at the end of the day, people are king, man. Clarity is king. And it's so hard to get people to understand what we want them to do at a good level that they can then run with it and do it themselves and be empowered to move forward. It's hard. It's really hard.
As an independent repair shop owner, do you find yourself struggling with any of the following? Uncertainty about the future of your business and keeping up with the competition. Are you spending too much time managing day-to-day chaos or struggling with new employees? Do you have time keeping up with industry trends? Do you find your marketing is effective? How do your finances look? Are you reactive rather than proactive? Do you know where you should be, where you can grow, and where you should cut back? If any of those situations describe where you are today, you are finally in the right place. Repair Shop of Tomorrow is Napa Auto Care's newest endorsed partner. They are helping shops nationwide run more profitable automotive repair shops by utilizing proven best practice marketing and coaching to leverage Napa programs to drive quality car count, sales, and profits. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, manage and measure labor, and how you can create net profit. Mike Kraft from Chelsea Tire and Service totally revamped his business. He was ready to get out, but decided to give RSOT a try. Now he has two shops with a totally revamped business. Likewise, Tom Kilmer from Grand Rapids Motor Car, RSOT helped dial in his business and focused on key points that changed his business and his life, which is all in his bottom line. Repair Shop of Tomorrow offers a tier-based program to not only generate more business today, but to transform your shop into a top-level shop of tomorrow. RSOT can teach you how to make your shop profitable, and they can teach you how to recruit and make more labor dollars for your shop. Give Repair Shop of Tomorrow a call, 440-545-1230, for a free 20-minute, no-obligation consultation. Is it really tough? And maybe you need to help answer this, Dan, for business owners to become a great leader coach.
You know, I'm coming to the conclusion over and over again, and it is the over and over again thing. Repetition, 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 repetition. You got to have the same message. In fact, some of the folks I admire the most that are in my leadership groups really put a lot of emphasis on personal development. So some of them literally have people reading a book a week or a book a month. One of the things I appreciate about my journey with Rod, I asked him, I said, why don't you change up your key leader notes, right? He said, because that doesn't get you to the right spot. When you start moving around all over the place, mixing in different things, figure out what the fundamentals are and stick with the fundamentals, which is where our whole conversation started, right? So not only you got to figure out your fundamentals, and we could go on this topic of assessments and understanding how you're wired and all that stuff. I'm wired a certain way, right? I am wired, high energy. I had a guy fill in yesterday, leadership role. And one of the feedback was, dude, you need to bring more energy. And they all looked at me and said, you had to follow Dan. So that doesn't really apply. And the same thing applies with Rod, right? He's got that same personality. But we have to repetitively go over things, figure out what those fundamentals is. And you never, in fact, I was going over stuff that I should have been going over with some of these leaders. And for whatever it is, the human condition, things just float off. So I now have a couple, I have two documents on my actual workspace. One is, what do I have to do to be that guy that leads X number of stores with X number of revenue? I'm not defining that for you, but through collaboration of a bunch of folks, we came up with a whole list. There's about 25 things on there. Every meeting, I'm challenging them. What area do you need to lean into and grow? And what area do we need to keep revisiting over and over and over and over and over again? Brought up the topic about dispatch, right? You and I, we had a couple meetings, I think that, and you know what? It was funny, Carm. Here's what they said. Why haven't we talked about this before? This is like critically important right in front of our face stuff. How do we dispatch to get the most out of everybody while still caring for the customer, the client, taking care of our internal clients, and making sure we're doing a great job? And so it's just like, okay, there's a couple things I have on my agenda, right? Every single meeting, we're going to go through them. Every single meeting, we're going to go through them. And I'll let Rod elaborate on this because he, as I think as a coach and a coach's coach, there's probably nothing that resonates more than what I just said as far as you still got to always go back to the fundamentals. John Goodman, here's how you put a sock on.
The repetitious thing, isn't that what coaching, you know, in professional sports is all about? I guess, why do golfers have coaches for there are different kinds of swings, right? And why are the top performers in our industry, to your point, Dan, rereading a book or never stop reading and going to classes and then sitting down with their mentor or their networking group saying, I screwed up, and you say confession to his team and themselves and commits to be better.
Here's a great quote from John Wooden, you know, and John won a lot of championships at UCLA and everybody reveres him. But what they forget is he didn't win one for like 13 years. I mean, he would have been fired in today's world within 3 years and never have gotten those 10 national championships. And he's got a saying, and he actually said this in his 60s. He said, my values and my principles don't change, but how I teach them has to evolve with the generations I coach. And I'll say that one more time. My values, my principles don't change, but how I teach them has to evolve with the generations I coach and lead. So for me, I spend a great deal of time, Carm, with people. Hey, what's your personality? All right. What are your non-negotiables? I mean, if I pinned you down and said, hey, in your culture, your team, what's a non-negotiable? And like, and if they don't have them, we'll teach them things like, hey, number one is control your controllables, and your top two controllables are your attitude and your effort. And again, this is all parenting, by the way. And everything that I teach, I didn't come up with. You know, I might have packaged it different or whatever, but I struggle with. And, you know, we have a saying with college coaching, period, never trust anyone without a limp. And what that means is I don't want to talk to someone who's never been through anything and doesn't struggle. You know, I haven't been through a divorce, but if I did, I wouldn't want to talk to someone who's never been through a divorce and then come out of it. I don't want to talk to somebody who's never been married. That makes zero sense to me. So I think the other piece for today's leader is, it's okay to have a limp. In fact, it's better to have a limp because now I at least know you're real, you know, and you're authentic. And that means more to me than all the titles in the world nowadays. I could care less. The other issue we have today is credibility. And people are, they're killing their credibility two ways. One, their competency isn't high enough. And there's no excuse to be incompetent in today's world. None. And the problem is, in today's world, you will be discovered or outed if you're incompetent. There's just too much information out there that people know. And so, number one, you got to stay cutting edge and competent. We kind of call this the three-dimensional leader. The first dimension is competency. The second dimension is you need to know how to motivate people. You have to have coaching skills. And my son's a sports psychologist, and he runs the mental conditioning for the minor leagues for the Colorado Rockies. And he's a PhD guy and all that kind of crap. And I joke with him and tell him I got a PE degree, so I'm just missing one letter. But I, you know, he and I talk about this a lot. It's like, it's really not that hard to motivate people if you figure out what motivates them. Like, just ask them, why do you work here? What's important to you? What are you trying to get done? And I remember working with a solar company once, and they took me down in the factory. And I remember looking at those people in the factory who were doing the same job all day long, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, putting a widget into a square. I'm like, man, I could not do this job. And I asked the GM, I said, how do they keep, how long are these, and he's telling me these people have been here 10 years, 20 years, 15 years. And I'm like, how do these people do this? How do you keep them motivated? He goes, I don't do anything. He said, that lady right there, she's put three kids through college. That guy over there, he's bought a house for his, for two of his kids. And he said, they all have their reasons. And he said, and I've had to discover what those are. So again, motivation, the second dimension is the ability to motivate motivate people individually and then collectively as a team and be able to do that simultaneously. That's a great coach, right? And then the third level is just, you've got to be a master connector today. And it doesn't mean you have, you're everybody's buddy. It just means you're going to work hard at connecting with people. And Carm, we've got one tool. Do you mind if I share it with you on how you can connect with people?
Absolutely.
So we call it coin collecting. My good friend Steve Shenbaum came up with this with the Game On Nation. And coins are actually sad. We don't use coins much anymore, but coins are actually a metaphor for, you know, for things that we keep in our pocket or near and dear to us that we love to talk about. And so we do things like at spring training, we'd send a coaching, you know, there'd be a, I don't know, 30 guys in their team, and we send them out as a staff, four or five of them together. And we'd say, hey, now your job is to collect two or three coins from every player. And at the end of the workout today, we're going to come back together, just the coaches, and we're going to share those coins with each other. And coins are things like, hey, you know, you see a kid has got a Mustang in the parking lot, a 79 Mustang that he's restoring. And then you go up to him and say, hey, is that your Mustang out there? He's like, yeah. And he goes, you into restoring cars? He goes, yeah, my dad was a mechanic. And you're like, oh, mine too. You know, I love cars. And that's a coin that you can connect with. Another one, oh, here's another great question is, when is the best time to collect coins? And it's not during high pressure situations. We teach people to lead and coach in the in-between times. What does that mean? Well, hey, when you're going from the meeting ends and then you're walking across the shop to the other end, maybe to their office, your office, and you're just having a friendly conversation, bring up a coin then. Hey, I heard your kid got a scholarship to this college. You know, tell me about that. That's the in-between times. And there was a great lacrosse coach at the university, at Navy, the Naval Academy, won a ton of games, national championships. And I was doing a workshop with some Navy SEAL leaders, and one of the SEALs in there had played at Navy. And he grabbed me on the break and he goes, hey, coach. He goes, now I know what coach so-and-so was doing. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, that sucker would lean against the wall. And he said it was about an 80-yard walk from our locker room to the practice field. And he said every day he'd be sitting, leaning against the wall, and then he'd grab a player and just walk with them. And he said he walked with me one day. And I go, what'd you talk about? He goes, he was collecting coins. And he goes, he did it in the in-between time. He said he was very strategic and tactical about it, though. And it was authentic. It wasn't fake. He wasn't trying to manipulate me. He was trying to get to know me. You know the old adage, people don't care what you know until they know how much you care. But coin collecting is a vital piece in today's world because we're so concerned with speed, 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 and efficiency. And we just don't take the time to get to know one another like we used to. And of course, technology just pulls us away. So yeah, people are paramount. And at the end of the day, we need to be easy to please and hard to satisfy as leaders, man. It's okay to say well done.
Rod, help me understand. Coin giving, coin collecting.
I'm going to try and see what, figure out how many coins I can get to collect on this guy, meaning things I know about him.
You're bringing your interest. You're finding a connection and you're collecting.
Yeah, because remember, that's for the third dimension, to be a master connector. And I'll tell you the challenge that we do too, Carm, is I'll say, okay, now that's great. You've got coins on your people at work. Do you know your kids' coins? Do you know your wife's coins, your spouse's coins? Because they change, especially as our kids get older, man. You know, one day they're interested in Legos and the next day it's girls. You know, I mean, it's like, what happened, man? You know, so we just encourage, great leaders are great coin collectors and they work at it. It's not just through osmosis, I'm going to figure out what you're doing. And again, the professionalism to keep the relationship professional and not cross lines that we shouldn't. You know, and I grew up as an old school guy taught, and I was taught, don't get too close to your players. It'll come back and bite you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. It smells like smoke. I don't need to be their buddy. I don't need to go drinking with them. I do need to have a relationship with them. That's a non-negotiable.
What I find so interesting at this whole coin thing, I love it. Thank you for bringing it up. It's so appreciated. I remember a mentor of mine would say, hey, Carm, come here, let's walk.
He knew what he was doing.
And so I guess back then I didn't realize that I was collecting coins, but what he was doing until I probably stopped to realize that he was giving me a coin.
That's right. And you know what? If you ask me, hey, Rod, what's the secret sauce in today's world? And Dan and I have talked about this. And honestly, I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think good leaders are great simplifiers. But at the end of the day, you've got to be relationship driven. I mean, you can connect with people, right? And you can motivate them and you can hold them accountable without them resenting you. We've lost this part. Or if we have this part, we lose this part. And you can't. You have to relationship driven with accountability, which, by the way, is freaking parenting. So every great coach, it's just, and you know what? Some days it's going to be harder. And like Dan said too, the science is hold them accountable. Well, yeah, but it's like my wife says, Rod, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So now let's work on how you say it, Rod. And so we try and be very intentional and strategic about helping people develop tools so that they can take a tactical pause and they can think before they speak. I mean, 90% of leadership problems are because somebody says something they shouldn't and the toothpaste came out of the tube and you can't put it back in. So what if we can get these people to pause and give them tools? And that's where my work with the SEALs, I've been so blessed to learn so many things from them. You know, you can't be an out of control SEAL, especially in combat. You know, you can't do that. You got to be emotionally under control. Same with coaches. You know, I can't be a raving lunatic. I need to be able to make strategic decisions and I can't let a referee pull me off my axis. I got to stay grounded, man, and in a good spot. So how do you do that? And we give people a lot of tools to do that.
You know, it's amazing to hear you talk about the SEALs. And every time I think of the SEALs, I think of discipline. I think of team. And there's a whole bunch of other ones. And when I think of some of the stuff that's not working in our bays, Dan, that's not working inside of our businesses out there, our aftermarket professional shops, they're lacking so many of the skills that the SEALs are taught. Yeah, I get that, the serious nature of it, but I still think you could have fun inside of a disciplined environment. Just my 3 cents.
You mentioned the word discipline. I had 3 groups in the last like 8 days. And I said, guys, I wish I could skirt around this. Greatness does not come without some discipline. We got to stop having a negative connotation for that word. It's okay to be disciplined. It's okay to have fun because we laugh a lot. Kid around. I'm made the butt of a lot of jokes. It's kind of our social contract. It's okay to make fun of old man Dan. And I'm perfectly cool with that. I get a kick out of it because you know what? I learned this from Rod. I got to take things a whole lot less serious. You know, I am a tense, focused, wired in cat. You know, it's funny because it's the positions you played on sports teams are indicative of your personality. And I've had to really lay back and go, wait a minute here. I mean, that's who I am. I'm not going to be somebody different, but boy, there's times I need to just bring down a couple notches and laugh with guys and have fun. But the discipline thing, I'm a highly disciplined person. And at the same time, it becomes a blind spot at times and it's not so good. And then I hold people at that same accountability or that same level of expectation. And I got to bring it down a notch. I thank God the world's not wired like Dan Taylor because it would be an ugly world.
I have to tell you, it's great to hear somebody say confession, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Humility, right? I mean, you know what? There are times I literally stand in front of the mirror and just laugh at myself because I am an absolute meatball a lot of times.
You're intense.
Well, I am. And there's times I bring it. Like yesterday, I dropped a couple bombs and I lit up my group and said, I'm disappointed in you. And I had a reason for it. And then I apologized and said, here's why, right? Now, this is where I failed my friend Rod. You can't let your emotions lead you. I got a little bit carried away there. Part of it, most of it was passion, but these are guys that I have journeyed with 6, 7 years, 5 years. They know me. I know them. They know back to the accountability and I care about you thing. And it's okay to go, you know what? I've invested in this account. I'm pulling something out because you guys have disappointed me. Now, we did repackage it, right? We repackaged it because I had to step back and think, why did these guys say they don't want to do this part of our meeting anymore? And they had some legitimate reasons why they didn't want to do it. And I don't dictate the meetings, right? We vote on it. I thought it was a great tool. And then a couple of them expressed why they didn't want to do that component of our meetings because they love the Q&A. They love what we're doing here. We're just talking about life. So we're better active listeners. We get to talk about what we want to talk about and we're engaged. I'm thinking, well, okay, well, silly me, right? I'm going to force on them. We're going to do topical things. And these guys I respect, they're my brothers. And I said, you know what, guys, I appreciate you telling me that's not what you want to do. That's okay, right? Because I stayed super disciplined and I needed to let up a little.
Well, I'll make sure that the team gets a chance to hear that.
Oh, I'm sure they'll all listen to it.
Rod, you have said a couple of things over and over again in this great podcast. Thanks so much again for this. You talked about parents a lot. And before I came down into the studio, I printed your game day tips for parents.
Wow, that's like from 2000.
Yeah.
7, 8.
Oh, you're the guy. Thanks for buying those. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I didn't have to pay for it. Somehow it just...
Oh, yeah. Now we give them away free now.
Yeah. And as the non-negotiables of a 21st century parent, game day tips for parents. You couldn't help but talk about the word parent here. And when I look these over, listen, if you're going to go to a game, this is how you have to play ball with us as a parent in the stands, and how you have to treat your coach and your kid and the neighbors that you're sitting next to and your Danis.
Sure.
And your Danis. I love that part. Let's kind of put a bow around this, and because there's these word metaphors, if you will, that I love to create in the podcast. And if somebody walk away with, you know, listen to learn just one thing. And there's been a lot of one things here. But how do we relate being a parent to my team as a leader?
So the number one tip for me as when I was a youth sport parent, and I consider high school sports youth sports too, is just treat it like you're a grandparent. You know, grandparents are happy to be alive and they never even thought they'd get to see their grandkids play. So, and any problems they have, the parents are going to have to deal with them. So who cares? You know, I mean, it's just awesome, you know, just let it go. Yeah. Be a shop owner. Hey, you know, I'm just kidding. So this whole concept of just parenting, and the reason we bring up parenting is not everybody's a parent, but our job is to grow our children up and help them be self-sufficient. You know, and as a consultant, Carm, my job is to work myself out of a job. I don't want to work with people for 5, 6, 7, 10 years. That's not my job. My job and any leader's good job, any leader's goal is in the position or the job they have is to work themselves out of a job. You should be empowering the next generation. You know, the players of today are the coaches of tomorrow. You know, the technicians of today are the shop managers and the owners of tomorrow, right? So we need to really embrace that thought and go, gosh, man, I need to take these people to another level. And there's one more really important philosophy, if you will, that really needs to be, it's a core principle to everything I believe in. And that is you're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. And we used to send our videotapes back in the day to a guy named Sid Gilman, who's kind of one of the fathers of the NFL. And the guy was working for New Sid, and we would send all our game tapes to him. And then he would send us back this kind of old school typed up written report. And on the top of the report, he put an asterisk and he said, remember, everything I saw on these tapes, you are either coaching it or you are allowing it to happen. There is no in between. And I remember that's the old school way I was taught. You know, if my team sucks, it's on me. I coached them. If my kids act like idiots, it's on me. I raised them. So granted, people are humans and they're going to take a left turn when they should take a right. And that's okay. But there's a chronic issue in your shop, or there's a chronic repetitive problem that you're dealing with in your culture. You know, you're the coach. And, you know, we talk about change the changeable, accept the unchangeable, and remove the unacceptable. And, you know, everybody's got three buckets, man, that they can put the energy or their time into. And that first bucket is things that we can control. That's where, man, I got to put a lot of energy and time into my own bucket. I got to work on my attitude, my effort. And as a leader, I got to make sure I'm fresh every day and I got a good attitude. The second bucket is our uncontrollables. And we need to quit putting any freaking water in that bucket. Keep it dry. And, you know, Dabo Swinney at Clemson lives out by me here and live by me. He's the school's down the road by me. And I don't live in the same community he does. Make a little more money. But he's got a saying about uncontrollables that he teaches his players. If you don't learn to let go of your uncontrollables, they will control you. So that second bucket needs to be dry as a leader. And if it's not in your control, let it go. But then the third bucket is things we don't control, but we can influence. And in that context, I may not be able to control my children or my spouse or the people in my shop all the time, but I can influence them by how I live my life and how I encourage them and I inspire them. And, you know, and Dan's great at this. I think one of the reasons everybody loves Dan is, and I'll be the first to say, he and I, we're not everybody's cup of tea, man. I get it. Like, Rod's enough. Like, get Rod out of here. I've had enough of him. But I do believe the reasons that people like us is we're encouragers at heart. And we're challengers at heart, and we want to help you get to another level. Now, if you don't want to, you probably don't want to be around us, and that's okay. But the problem with that is we're the hardest on ourselves of anybody. And along with these three buckets, though, Carm, I just want to repeat that quote. It's like, change the changeable, accept the unchangeable, and remove the unacceptable. And remember, we're either coaching or we're letting it happen. We can't blame other people for our problems at the end of the day. And the last brilliant piece of coaching that I've picked up, you know, is, hey, life is too freaking short to be unhappy. I got a list of guys on my dry erase board in my office that keeps growing. And these are guys that have died way too early. I mentioned Kelly McGregor. I've got some SEALs on here that died in training accidents that were 40 years old. And maybe it was suicide. I've got some other friends that just had heart attacks. And I've got a saying above it that says, live the life that these men weren't allowed to give them the time to live. I mean, we have got to keep the big picture in mind, but the world, man, the world just keeps grinding on us that our life's not good enough and da 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 da. Dude, get off the social media, just get off of it and get away from the news and worry about your team, your family, your community, and live life, man, to the fullest. Because this is a juggernaut to be a leader in today. It's tough.
There's no better summary than what you just did to end this podcast. Dan, thank you for getting Rod to come on the show. I so appreciate it. Dan Taylor, Senior Business Advisor, Transformers Institute. Rod Olson, author, speaker, executive coach, great friend of Dan Taylor, or so he says.
Friend of Carm.
And now, a friend of Carm. Golly, this was inspiring. Thank you so much, guys.
Hey, Carm, appreciate you. And keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep making a huge difference. It's awesome.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.